If you have your Bibles this morning, you can be turning with us to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. You can probably just mark that in your Bible because we may be here for the next year. Amen. We're going to know the Shunammite woman. Amen. We got to preaching here on Wednesday night and just got just a little ways in, and I don't really know what happened. It was all she wrote from there. Amen. It was like the Holy Ghost, a bomb just went off in this house. I think it was 10:30 before we got out. Poor Mati was in the nursery. Was you in there that long? We should have been praying for Mati next door. You should have just brought the nursery in here. Amen. What a time, amen, that we're living in right now. So I just want to follow the leading of the Lord. Amen. I guess I probably need to read all of this again because many weren't here. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. I'm going to read a lot. You don't have to stand. I think that we just need to know the word. Amen. Jesus. If you're there, say amen. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither. So let me stop because I don't have time to share everything that I shared Wednesday night. I preached a couple Wednesday nights ago out of 2 Kings chapter 4 about the widow's oil. And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I believe that this is a revival church. And I believe that we're in a season of revival. I believe this church has been in revival for 9 years, personally. We've seen a lot of people saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and God is moving, amen? There's no telling at any service what God may do. You know, God's moving, God's helping, God's saving, God's filling. We've seen demons cast out. We've been seeing people called to the ministry. I just believe that it is a revival church, and I believe that many godly people have said those that have come from all around the world and spoke that into this church. And so knowing that, then you have to be responsible with that. Amen? There is a heavy and a great responsibility that I take very serious. But here's the thing. I can't be the only one that takes this church and every service that we come to serious. You have to bring your oil also. Amen. You can't just come and expect me to be the only one filled with oil, because sometimes I need you to be filled with oil. Amen. Honestly, on a personal level, for the last month and a half, personally, I've probably been facing some of the darkest times of my life. Amen. There's been attacks come on every side, but I'm reminded what Paul said. He said, I'm persecuted on every side. Amen. I'm pushed down, but I'm not abandoned. Amen. And so that is a reality in this wall. Nobody ever said, Jesus surely didn't tell us whenever we got into this call, whenever we came in to being a Christian, that it was going to be easy. As a matter of fact, he said, in this world, he said, there will be trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Amen. Amen. He told Paul, whenever he got born again on the road to Damascus, I'm going to show you the things that you must suffer for my name's sake. I've come to find out in the 18 years that I've been walking with God, I've come to find out there's a lot more days that are hard than there are days that are easy. But in the hard days, I can still have joy, Brother Michael. I can still have peace, Brother Michael. I can still know that I'm right with God in the midst of the greatest turmoil. I know that I'm right with God, and I thank God for eternal life. I thank God for abundant life. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to enjoy life. I enjoy my life right now, and I know that we have to get to the place in our life. As James said, I count it all as joy. I count it all as joy that God has entrusted me to be faithful through the battle. Why? Because His grace is sufficient. And so there are times in our life where the widow, she got rid of everything that was in her house. See, she made room for God to move. She made room for a move of God. And so she emptied everything out of her house so that the house could be filled with empty vessels, which would eventually be filled with oil. So she emptied everything out of the way, and she made room for a move of God. And so there are seasons that you have to get rid of everything to make room for a move of God. But then as this Shunammite woman, she realized and acknowledged that this man that was passing by was a man of God. And so now she acknowledges that. One thing that I said the other day, if you want to receive the prophet's reward, then you better start acknowledging who's in your midst. Amen. I'm not saying you have to honor me, but I know God has set me over this house, and you may not like me, but I tell you, if you can't honor the pulpit in this house, then you better find somewhere that you can, because I can tell you God warns against that. I'm not trying to pat Jared on the back. I'm just giving you what God's word says. Thus saith the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to receive the prophet's reward. And if we're going to receive that, then you better acknowledge that God is walking by right now in this house. Amen. There's a move of God going on like I've never experienced. Amen. Right now in my life, in this Shunammite woman, she acknowledged that God walked by when Elisha was passing by. She honored him. And if you want to receive the prophet's reward, then honor the prophet. We have to honor people of God. You don't have to like them, but you better honor them anywhere. Amen. I said this the other day. How many of y'all know Dennis Lee? How many of you still call him sheriff? Is he still the sheriff? Then why do we call him that? Because we honor what he was. Why don't we honor people of God the same way? Anybody knew a coach whenever you was in high school? You still call them coach even though they're not a coach? You still honor them as a coach. Why don't we honor people of God the same way? Amen. People quit being a doctor. You still call them doctor. Why don't we honor men and women of God the same way? You see, this Shunammite woman did that. She honored him. She acknowledged the anointing that was on his life. And so in order in the Old Testament to gain access to the anointing, the only way you could gain that was through the prophet or the priest. Amen. Because the anointing was on them. So if the anointing was going to come in her house, then guess what? She had to get the man of God in her house. That was the access to the anointing. Amen. And so that's the only way she was ever going to get it in there. So she took knowledge. She acknowledged that this man that had been passing by her, she knew something was different about this man. She saw the glory of God. She saw the mantle that fell from heaven from Elijah that was now upon him. She saw that. She recognized that. So there are times, church, that you have to make room for a move of God, but then there are times that you have to make room for God to move. So you have to maintain revival. So here's what she did. She said to her husband, "Let us make him a room. And in this room, let's put a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick." So here's what you see here. This stool here, this chair, is a representation of authority. See, this chair has four legs on it. It holds things up. Can I tell you, if Jesus isn't on the throne of your heart, then you're going to fall every time. You see, Jesus has to have the authority in our life. This table is a place of fellowship and divine visitation. Whenever you sit down with your family at the dinner table, can I tell you, you have conversation about things that you probably don't talk about at other times in your life. This is a place of divine visitation. This is a place where family meet together. This is a place where we share one another what's going on at the dinner table. Amen. Melvin Sanchez said this is the place where dad even sits down and the dad's on the same level as the children are. Amen. He's not walking in that authority in some high place, but they're all on the same place and now he's got their attention. Can I tell you, this is what happens here. Our Father has our attention and we're listening to him. It's a place of divine visitation. And this lamp, amen, is a place of illumination. We should be the light of Christ. Amen. Wednesday night we turned off all the lights and we just preached with the lamp on. And it just illuminated Christ out. Amen. You could just see a move of God. You could see Jesus. And so there are times that you have to empty the house, but there are times you have to fill the house to maintain revival. So some of you need to start maintaining revival. Some of you could care less if God moves or not. I just showed up for church. There's no maintenance. Well, what good is that going to be? Amen. Well, we don't bring nothing. We don't offer nothing. We're not doing anything. We're not offering anything. Amen. I can tell you there's some people that are takers and there's some people that are givers. You choose which one you'll be. Amen. I don't know about you, but I was a taker 25 years of my life. I can tell you they'll suck the life out of you. But people that give, they're going to give no matter what. So it fell on a day, he turned in there into the chamber, verse 11, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, then it is to be done. What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. She then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, and he said unto Gehazi, a servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as the soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon his face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hand upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and he walked in the house to and fro, and he went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she come in unto him, he said unto him, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took her son and went out. Would you stretch your hands forth and pray? I know God wants me to say this morning, but I'm just going to be honest here for just a moment. It's hard to preach 2 services back to back. It's hard to walk in the anointing back to back. It is. And I'm telling you, I don't want to miss a moment right now. It's imperative that we hear what God is saying. There's a reason that I didn't say some of these things Wednesday night. There's a reason. There's a reason for somebody here, somebody watching. There's a reason. I can tell you, I was so excited to preach all of this Wednesday night, but God had different plans, I believe, even for today. And I know this, I feel the presence of the enemy. He don't want me to release this word. So just please, just ask God to just join with me right now, would you? Jesus, I ask that you would help me, Lord, right now to overcome. Lord God, I know time is short. So God, help me this morning to relay what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Where I finished on Wednesday night, I hate to keep going back there, but I need to pick up here. Because this was literally in the middle of my message when God just broke in our service Wednesday night. And the last thing that I remember releasing was we got to the place of the anointing. And here's the thing that I just want to bring you up very quickly. So here's this woman, the Shunammite woman. The Bible says that she was rich and she was influential. And she didn't need anything. So when the prophet came into her house, the prophet said, "Well, what can I do for her?" And she said, "Really, I have no needs. But basically, I just want the presence of God to be in my house." You see, a lot of people would want the prophet for something to get out of him. But she didn't need anything. She was rich. She was influential. And she her husband had fields. He had people working for him in the fields. So he had things taken care of. So really, they didn't need anything. And the prophet said to her, "Do you need anything?" She said, "It is well with me." She said, "I live among my own people. I don't need anything. I just wanted the presence of God in my house, so I built you a room." And so there was nothing in her life. And so listen, this is imperative this morning that we know this. Because she's just standing there, and then I believe that even the prophet was dumbfounded for a moment. Then he turned to Gehazi, and he says, "Is there anything that I can do for her?" Well, then the servant Gehazi said, "Well, I can tell you what." He said, she's barren, and her husband is old. And it was like the prophet said, "Okay, then, call her. Call her." So I don't know about you, but I could just see this. And as I just began to process some this weekend, I began to think about the door. And the Bible says that she came and she stood in the door. She stood in the door. And so how many of y'all ever, somebody call you and you're cleaning in your house or you're working or something in your house and you're in one room and you just somebody calls your name and you just kind of come stand in the door. Anybody ever do that? But you're just kind of like, "Well, I'm not really going to come in and commit all the way to you because I'm headed back this way." Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just kind of stand in the doorway. Maybe you prop up like this, like, "All right, come on, let's get about it. Hurry up and tell me what you want to say. I got something I need to do over here." So Gehazi calls her, and she's standing in the doorway is what the Bible says. Well, then all of a sudden the prophet releases a word to her, and he said, "About this time next season, you're going to bear a son." And all of a sudden, she's like, "Whoa, I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for this prophet to say anything like that to me." And so can I tell you, there's something about a doorway. This is a place and a point of transition. It's time that some of us make up our mind, because I'm fixing to transition out of one room into the next. Amen. And I believe Wednesday night, we were at a place of transition. Amen. Some of us were just standing in the doorway. We got 1 foot in, we got 1 foot out. We hadn't really been able to make up our mind which way or what direction that I'm going to go. You see, the Shunammite woman didn't have a need in her life, but the moment the prophet spoke to that belly, he said, about this time next season, he said, there's going to be a supernatural seed that I'm going to deposit in your life. Can I tell you, that was a longing in her heart that only God could know. She may not have even spoken, because even when her little boy died, she didn't speak it then. She said, it is well. It is well. Can I tell you the reason she said it is well? Because her husband may have planned a funeral, but she was getting to God so there could be a resurrection. You got to be careful what you say, because some people will try to tell you to bury that God said, I'm going to bring to life. Sometimes you just got to say it as well. Don't tell everybody everything. They'll use it against you. You can talk to me about everything. I told our leadership Tuesday, I said, how dare you take what I've shared with you, things you know intimately about me, and turn it against me? How dare you? Because I can tell you then, you know who you're touching? You're touching Jesus. You touch Jesus. You see, not everybody gets in to know the internal things, your weaknesses. And I can tell you what, Jesus said we should bear them. Amen. Paul said, I boast all the more in my infirmities. But can I tell you, some people want to turn that against you, twist it against you, stick the knife in your back. How dare you? You're not talking about me. You're talking about him. And you're touching the blood when you touch those places. You got to be careful sometimes, and you just better keep walking to God. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Some people will tell you to prepare for a funeral when you know if I can get to God, he's going to bring a resurrection. Amen. Be careful who you talk to about everything. Amen. There's a lot of Debbie Downers in the church. I'm just saying. Amen. I said there's a lot of Debbie Downers in the church. That anointing released a supernatural seed. Can I tell you, the anointing gives access for the supernatural to begin to move. I'm talking about supernatural things. Amen. I believe 3 weeks ago, this church stepped into a supernatural realm. Amen. I'm trying to preach in a hurry. Time's running short. The first thing that the anointing did in this woman's life, when she made access for the anointing, she built the man of God a room. She made room for God to move. And the first thing that the anointing did was break the stigma of barrenness in her life. She didn't know that there was a need, but the anointing broke the stigma of barrenness in this woman's life. She was at a point of transition in her life. Amen. She stood in the middle of the doorway, but I could just see her. The moment that the Holy Ghost spoke that word to that woman, I don't know about you. Anybody ever been just talked to by God and you're just standing at a place of transition? But the moment the Holy Ghost did something, my God, you just felt pulled. You just felt yanked by God. You knew it had nothing to do with you. You knew there was something supernatural that was just deposited in my belly. I know that had nothing to do with me. I wasn't looking for a baby, but now I'm impregnated by a baby. Can I tell you, I believe this morning in this house that our God is going to begin to deposit a supernatural seed in our midst. You didn't ask for it. You wasn't looking for it, but I'm telling you, God sent me to this house, and he said to release the seed of the supernatural. He broke the stigma of barrenness. God dealt with that in such a way Wednesday night. The second thing he told me, stay with me, please. This is for this house. The second thing he told me that the anointing broke was through her brokenness. Through her brokenness. Verses 20. Let me just read verse 18. And when the child was grown, about 12 years old, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Russell, can I use your backpack? This is going to be the baby. Tyler, I'm going to use you. This is that baby. Just come sit right here. I love the people that God uses in this story. God used a lad with no name to bring the little boy to the mama. That's a 12-year-old boy. You're just holding him in your arms. And he dies. He dies. Imagine what she was looking over and praying. Imagine what was going on in her mind. I didn't ask for him. Imagine how broken she had to be. She looked down at that 12-year-old little boy. 12 years I had with this little boy. And now, you mean he's going to die? He's going to die. Can you imagine what must have been going through that mama's heart? Could you imagine what must have been going through her mind? We made a room for this man of God. He speaks a word into my life. And I give birth to a baby when, you know, I didn't even ask for this. And now I'm going to hold this child in my arms. And he's going to die in my arms. Could you imagine what that mama's heart must have felt like? Come on, put yourself there for a minute. Don't go to sleep on me. Stay with me. There's some broken people in this house. We just don't want to be open about it. We don't want to be honest. We want to walk in our pride and act like we got it all together. Some of you are holding that baby today. You're holding things in your arms today that have caused your heart to be so broken, and you're just facing it. You're just looking at it. And some of you are saying, God, I didn't ask for this anyway. I didn't ask for this anyway. God, I didn't ask to pastor this church. In all the hell we've been through, I didn't ask for this. This broke my heart. At times, my family, I didn't ask for this. Things you're facing right now in your life that's just breaking you in pieces, you didn't ask for this, did you? You didn't ask for this stuff. You didn't ask for this stuff in your life. You were standing in the doorway. You were content with where you were at. You were content back here in this room, but then God asked you to come to the door. You didn't ask for that baby. Now, 12 years later, 12 years of good life, 12 years old, that boy can finally go work with daddy. Out on the field, my head, my head. That boy dies in his arms. Can I tell you, it brings us to a point of decision. What you gonna do, church? What we gonna do? What we gonna do? It brings us to a point of decision in our life. But the anointing broke through her brokenness. I don't know about you. This is the bed right here. This was my bed Wednesday night. It's going to be my bed Sunday morning. This is the bed for the man of God. Listen to this. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother and sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him and went out. Will you bring him here? Whew. It's what some of you need to do today. Watch this. Whew. Can I tell you, only anointing can break through in our brokenness. Amen. Only the anointing. Something supernatural had to break through in that mama's heart. Could you imagine? Listen with me. Something supernatural had to take place in that mama's heart. It's noontime. I'm holding this baby and he dies in my arms. That little boy brought her baby and she's just holding him, coddling him. I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine? Could you do it on your own strength? No way. No way. It has to be supernatural. Amen. It has to be. Are you with me this morning? It has to be a supernatural moment for me to take this 12-year-old baby and take him up here. Where does she take him to? She didn't take him to the funeral home. She took him to the place where the man of God laid. She said, I'm going to lay that baby there. Can I tell you, sometimes we carry burdens around, and can I tell you, they got one agenda, and that is to destroy our life. But we just tote these things around. We just carry them around, and we hold on to them a little bit longer. But the moment that baby died, she went right to the bed of the man of God. She laid him there, and then the Bible said she shut the door, and she left the room, and then she took off running to the man of God. Can I tell you, only an anointing from God Almighty can cause you to lay a dead boy down, shut the door on it, and leave the room, Sister Leah. And I felt the Holy Ghost say to me, God's going to set some mamas free and some daddies free and some churches free, because you and I need to let some things go. We need to shut the door, and we need to run to God and say, God, you're the one that gave this. God, you better better get back to your bed and do something with what you gave me. Here's what a lot of us do, though. We just want to stay right here. Pray and we beat, we bang. Oh, God. Some things you just got to let them go. Some things you just got to shut the door in the face of the devil and say, I'm going to leave him right there. Now, this may be too personal for some. I don't know. I'm just telling you what God told me to say. Amen. The anointing broke through her brokenness. Her 12-year-old son died in her arms. The anointing will do what you can't do and release a supernatural strength to you and through you. There's no way that mama on her own strength could take that little boy and place him on the bed of the man of God. Amen. Don't you know when she visited that bed, don't you know there had to be some brokenness in her heart? You mean I made this bed? You mean I bought that bed? You mean I made that room for the man of God? He spoke a word to me, and now that baby's going to die in my arms. Don't you know she had to visit a lot of things? Don't you know she had to look at her own heart? Don't you know there had to be a supernatural anointing working in that woman's life to be able to lay that baby down on the bed, to be able to slam the door in the face of death? And when she walked out of there, she said, God, I leave that boy with you. I got to get to the man of God. And the Bible says she took hope. She took off. She took off running to the man of God. Listen to me this morning. That place of preparation is about to produce a resurrection. I said that place of preparation is about to become a place of resurrection. Y'all with me this morning still? My God, it's hard to preach this morning. I heard God speak this to me this morning. Don't bury your supernatural seed you didn't ask for. Don't bury your supernatural seed that you didn't ask for. It's God's responsibility to take care of what God births. My God. Amen. I said it's God's responsibility to take care of what God births. That woman didn't ask for a baby. Had she asked for it, it'd have been her responsibility. My God, y'all ain't hearing me this morning. I said it would have been her responsibility, but God's the one that gave her the child. And can I tell you, some of us didn't ask for what God gave us either. And let me tell you, you may think that little boy's dead right now, and it may be. It may be look worse than it's ever looked before in your life, but you didn't ask for it. It's not yours to begin with. It wasn't your seed. You didn't wake up one day and say, God, give this to me. I didn't ask to be a pastor. I didn't say, God, let me preach. God, let me be a Christian. I didn't ask for it. I was just in jail, but the prophet spoke to me and he pulled me through the door and he said, now son, this is what I've called you to do. It's God's responsibility to fight for me. I didn't ask for this. You didn't ask for what God gave you. And if God puts a seed in you of the supernatural, it's his job to keep it and take care of it. Michaela, the devil wanted to jump on me yesterday. He said, you're a liar to me. How would you dare give them false hope about that school? How would you dare speak those things? How would you dare? Had to be God. Last thing I was thinking about was GFCA Wednesday night. You know what God told me this morning? We didn't ask for that school. You surely didn't. You didn't ask for what you're facing right now, being pregnant and the school at the same time. You didn't ask for that. God told me you didn't ask for that, Jared. You had enough. One more responsibility hanging over your head. Who would dare ask for something like that? I heard God say to me, to say to y'all, and he said to me, because I said, how could I dare give them false hope? How could you dare? He said, it's my seed. It looks like it's dead. Kayla Marcus, listen. He said, put it on the bed of the man of God. Yes. And shut the door on it. Some things, some of us are trying to fix and control. And we have good intentions. And we're pounding people over the head even with the Bible. And we try to just prophesy the word. But it's not your seed to begin with. It had nothing to do with you to begin with. It's God's. So quit pounding this into it. Shut the door on it. Lay it on the bed of the man of God. Shut the door and walk away. And then guess what? Just run to God. Just run to God. Just run to God. Because he's the one that done it anyway. You know what I say? It's God's fault. Run to him. Did that sound wrong? God did it. God did it. So just get to him. You did this, God. You did this. Did you do this to hurt me? Did you do this to destroy me? You did this, God. The anointing broke through her brokenness. There ain't not one of us that can do what that woman did in a natural strength. But it was supernatural. You see, she had already given access to the anointing. And the anointing gives access to the supernatural to move. So there was a supernatural seed that was released in her, and now there's a supernatural strength that's released in her. There's none of us on the natural that could take that dead child after 12 years, lay it on the bed of the man of God, shut the door on it, and run to God. We want to fix it. We want to stop the situation. We want to help God out. I think God needs my help right here. I don't know if he knows what he's doing. He didn't need your help to put the seed in you. He don't need your help to deal with the seed now. That's the supernatural seed that's laying here. You just think it's dead. There's a greater glory that's about to come forth. Praise God. Don't miss prayer meet tonight. I'm just telling you. I'm already in prayer meet because I can't hardly preach this morning. He broke through her brokenness. God said to me this morning, don't bury your spiritual seed. You didn't ask for this to begin with. So don't bury it. Just leave it on the top and let God resurrect it. The anointing broke through her brokenness. That place of preparation is now about to produce a resurrection. Listen to this. Some things aren't for us to fix.
Come on, somebody.
Anybody need a lesson in that? Some things aren't for us to fix. Let it go, control freaks. You don't have to constantly say something, intentionally or unintentionally. Come on, somebody. Some things aren't for us to fix. Amen. It's God's work. Let God do it. We don't need negativity constantly. Well, that's why that woman said it as well. She knew that if I tell my husband or tell the wrong people that boy's dead, everybody's going to plan a funeral. Everybody's going to have something to say. Are you crazy going back to the man of God that spoke that to you? Who do you think that you are? Can I tell you, you don't have to have something negative to say all the time. That's why some people don't talk to some of us, because we got something to say all the time. Not everybody understands the power of a supernatural seed. We need an anointing that's fresh and new and real and right. Can I tell you tonight, church, if we can learn something from the woman of Shunem, my God, it's time to let God fix it. Some things aren't for us to fix. God is going to fix it. It's his problem. We're moving forward, not backwards. I saw these five things. God said, pick it up, lay it down, leave it alone, leave the room, shut the door on it, and go to God. We'll say it again. Pick it up. That's the boy. Lay it down. You with me? Leave it alone. Leave it in the room.
It's hard to do.
Come on, anybody with me? That's hard to do right there. Now, this is really hard. Shut the door. I just shut the door on my access back there. I'm not coming back till God comes. I'm not going back in that room till God comes in that room. Now remember what I said, the prophet is access to God. The prophet or the priest was access to the presence of God and the anointing of God. So guess what? That woman said, I'm not going back in that room till God shows up. I wonder how many of us are hindering God from showing up because we won't shut the door and leave the room. We want to stay here and give our advice how it should be done. We'll do it this way. Maybe he'll be all right. We'll do it this way. Maybe we'll fix the bed. Well, I think it's too far gone. You never left it alone for God to move. Let me tell you, God's not going to work through your pride to bring a resurrection. Are you still with me? Shut the door on it and get to God. The anointing of God will cause you to run to God. Listen to this. Despite what you are facing or what you are feeling. Whew. Are you hearing me? I said the anointing of God will cause you to run to God despite what you are facing or what you are feeling. I want to read you the Bible in the Passion Translation, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 says, as for us, we have all these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into that we may will be able to run life's marathon race. Listen to this commentary. This is what the comment, get rid of every arrow tip in us. The implication is carrying an arrow tip inside, a wound that weighs us down and keeps us from running our race with freedom. My God. What did that mama do? Don't you know there was a lot of wounds and a lot of arrow tips in her back? Don't you know she felt every one of them when she laid that baby down? But there was something greater. Brother Michael working on the inside of her. Amen. She said, I feel every arrow tip. I feel every wound. I feel every pain. But I know what I got to do. I got to run to God. I got to run this race no matter what I face, no matter what I feel. Amen. I don't know what you're facing this morning, and I don't know what you're feeling this morning, but can I tell you the enemy's going to keep shooting arrows, but the anointing of God will cause us to do what we cannot do on our own. I know some of you are bent over, and you got arrows all out of your back. You got wounds every which way, and there's poison on the tips of those arrows, but there's something working on the inside of me that's far greater than that that shoots me, than that that works against me, because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Can I tell you, there's an anointing that flows on the inside. There's a grace that works on the inside. No matter what I face, no matter what I feel, I got to run to God. The anointing broke through her brokenness. And thirdly, the anointing broke in to her bitterness. I've been preaching this, and I don't know why. I'm telling you, I don't know why, other than God. I didn't ask for these messages. There's some bitter hearts in this church. There's bitterness in this church. 3 weeks ago, I started on a Sunday morning and talked about the bitter waters. And bitter waters cause barren lands. Some of us wonder why we're not producing fruit, because nobody wants what you have. It's bitter. Water's the source of life. And if your water source is bitter, then it's not going to produce any life. The anointing of God is going to break through some bitter hearts today. The Bible says she ran to the man of God. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Well, let me just jump down. Here's what whenever the man of God saw her, here's what he said. Let me find my place here. Verse 27. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. The Message Bible and the Amplified said she was bitter and vexed. And the man of God saw that. Could you imagine how she must have felt? Listen to what she says. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. I'm sorry, let me back up. Verse 28. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Could you just hear her? Imagine how she must have stared at the man of God and said, what did you do to me? Is this what I get? For making you a room, making you a bed, giving you bread to eat, and this is what you're going to do to me? Anybody ever been there with God? Come on, don't be phony this morning. Don't tell me you ain't never been angry with God and shook your face to heaven. You have. Something in your life probably drove us there. God knows it. I'm not saying you're mad today, but life has a way to cause bitterness to come. Life has a way to be unfair. Who do we blame first? God.
That's right.
Anybody ever done that? Isn't it funny how God gets to blame for everything? Even before the devil, we run to God and say, look at what you did. I didn't ask for this. I'm just sharing you reality. There's been a lot of times I've shook my hand in the face of God. I didn't ask for this anyway. I like to be liked. I don't like nobody to talk about me. Well, that's not a reality in this gospel. It's not a reality. Sometimes life just has a way of making us cold and bitter and angry. So that woman left. She said, I didn't ask for this anyway from you. This is what you're going to do to me. Her heart was bitter. Can I tell you, the anointing had a way to break through that. God told me this morning, you've come too far to go back now. You've come too far to go back now. There's no way, no reason for us to quit now. We got to get to God. We got to get to God. We have to say to God what we need to say to God. Why did you do this, God? Why did you allow this to happen, God? Can I tell you, somebody needs to get real with God today, because there's some bitterness there. You may not even see it, but God knows it's there, because we're good creatures at burying bitterness. We're so good. Oh, it's Sunday morning. I get to go to church. The whole time, you're crushed. You're hard. You're cold. You're bitter. You're saying, God, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for this pain. Why are you doing this to me? God has a way. Listen, you've come too far. God gave you 12 years with that little boy. And it's God's little boy anyway. Shame on us if we don't get to God and deal with our heart. Shame on us if we don't. We've come too far to close this thing out bitter. I'm just telling you, we've come too far, Monty, to close this race out bitter. That's the agenda of the enemy. You get bitter, you're not going to make it. I promise you, you won't make it bitter. You'll wear yourself out. Jesus. The fourth thing, the anointing will break you through barriers of religion. Verse 23, and he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Her husband said, it's not the new moon or the Sabbath, because that was the religious rhetoric. The only time you went to the prophet was on the new moon or the Sabbath. Well, it wasn't every one of them. Can I tell you, whenever the anointing's on your life, it'll break through every religious rhetoric that there is. Amen. I don't have to wait on the Sabbath. I don't have to wait on the new moon.
I got to get to God today. Amen. I don't need to go through your rules. I don't need to go through your regulations. There's a need in my life. It may not be the new moon, Sister Amy. It may not be the Sabbath. I know that's what you do, and that may be your routine, but I got a little boy back there that is dead. I can't even talk to you about it because you would wait on the Sabbath. You would wait till it got the new moon, and it would be too late. Church, I'm telling you, I came to this house today and say, somebody, it's time to get up. It's time to get to God. It's time to lay the routine aside. It's time to walk out of religion. The anointing will break through it all. Somebody's got to get to God. Hallelujah. We got to get to God. It may be what everybody else is doing. It may be how everybody else does church. GFCC, we got to get to God. We don't have time to wait. We don't have time to compare. Y'all help me. Y'all help me now. Amen. You don't have time to do what everyone else is doing. It's a must to get to God now. I'm about to close. I don't know who's closing out for me this morning. I didn't get hardly nowhere, but let me say this, just a couple things. I'm going to. I'm going to give you one last thing as I get ready to close. Verse 32. I talked about acknowledgement. Talked about authority, talked about anointing. I want to talk to you just a minute about atonement. Verse 32 said, and when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in and therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord and went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. That's where a lot of people stop in church. And the child gets warm. Come on now. I don't have time to preach right there today, but somebody needs to know that this morning. There's a lot of lukewarm Christians. I felt a little warmth in that baby today, and we stop. That's where the church is living right now, brother. But there's another level. You see, that body temperature, that little boy ain't where it needs to be yet. It's just warm. It's the type of the lukewarm church. There's a lot of lukewarm people in the house this morning. There's a lot of lukewarm people in the church of America. And we're okay with just being warm. Well, I'm not dead, but I'm not alive. Man of God touched me. The man of God breathed on me. Oh, but he wasn't done. He wasn't done. You just thought he was because you were done. But he wasn't done yet. His body waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro. Can I tell you, God's not done. He was just warm, Brother Michael. He said, oh, I'm not done yet. He's walking to and fro, Brother Dom. He said, I got more. I can just see Jesus walking back and forth right now. You're just warm right now. You ain't seen nothing yet. I got more because I'm fixing to come. I'm fixing to stretch myself out upon Then he returned and he walked in the house to and fro, and he went up and he stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. Don't have time to get in all that, but when you sneeze, you let wind out, the pneuma of God. The breath from the prophet got inside of him, and now it's coming out of him. Can I tell you, that's a spirit-filled life. And I can tell you, he didn't sneeze 6 times or 8 times, but 7 times. That tells me that God's done now. You can get up, boy. You got work to do. Whew. And he called Gehazi and he said, call the Shunammite. So he called her. When she was coming unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in. She said, now I can go. Woo! My boy's alive. Now I can get back in that room. Some of you just need to let God move a little bit. Some of you need to leave the room. You need to shut the door and you need to let God work. Don't come back in and try to touch the situation or fix it. Are you hearing me? I want to talk to you just briefly here for just a moment about the atonement of Jesus. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Listen to this. I've never seen this until the other day. But Jesus was what? They took this hand, they nailed it. They took this hand, and they nailed it. They took his feet, and they nailed it. You know who I saw going and laying over that little boy? I saw Jesus on the cross. I saw that little boy, Brother Shane, just there. And I saw Jesus cross. That word stretch means to measure up. It means to measure. And can I tell you, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that dead boy's anointing had to measure up to the anointing that was on him. Who came to be on top of me? He said, I can't stay dead. He said, there's an anointing in me. And when I then you can't stay the way that you are right now, for you have to measure up to who I am. Can I tell you that you and I have to measure up to who Jesus is? Can I tell you that is the end result, to look like Jesus? He stretched himself out on the cross. He said, it is finished. You can't look like Jesus on his own. He stretches himself out over us. He gets eye to eye, nose to nose, mouth to mouth, face to face, and we just measure up to him. More like him, more like him. I was dead in my trespasses. I was dead in my sins. I was separated in my iniquity. But Jesus got face to face with me. And so now I have to measure up to who he is, because he's the anointed one on me. He's eye to eye with me. He's face to face with me. He's mouth to mouth. And what I breathe, it's his breath. What I see, it's with his eyes. What I smell, it's with his nose. I have to measure up to him. Would you stand with me this morning?